All right, so I'm James.
I'm Lee.
And you're listening to
Authors Like Us.
We're going to be talking to Barbara Haworth Adder today, young adult writer and middle grade fiction writer as well.
And now we just have to Skype her.
Yeah.
Let's see if it works. Right. So are you feeling okay now?
Yeah.
After eating the military...
Yeah, I ate this military meal yesterday and... Oh,
she's right here.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
You good?
Yeah, welcome to our show.
Okay, I'm just actually moving this to see the best because I got a window here, so just a sec.
Sure,
you're very punctual. That's good.
That's not too bad. Okay.
Perfect.
All right. So let me see. I don't think anything else I need to do. That's good for you guys.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a question right off the bat. Is that a typewriter behind you?
Is that a what?
Typewriter.
No, it's a printer. I have a typewriter in the basement, actually.
Oh, okay. For a minute, I was excited. I had this vision of you, you know, this romantic vision of you typing away on an old-fashioned typewriter.
Oh, my gosh, no. Absolutely not. Are you kidding me? I mean, these things make life so much easier, so...
Yeah, I agree. Anyways, for our listeners out there, this is not video, but there's a picture of Barbara here, and it's just a printer, but I got excited. I thought it was an old-fashioned manual typewriter. I learned how to type on an old-fashioned manual typewriter.
Well, so did I, because actually, I remember when I worked in a law office for quite a while, and I remember when the IBM Selectrix came out, and boy, am I dating myself. And I was so excited. Wow, look at this! It types all by itself!
Oh, I used to have one of those typewriters. I eventually graduated to a typewriter where you could see one line of text. On a little mini LCD screen, and I thought that was like so exciting.
Well, and then we used to have to use this stuff like Whiteout to correct our mistakes and things. And I mean, it's just so much easier now with the computers, you know. But and actually, that's a brand new printer. Just bought my computer crashed in August, so I bought a whole new system. So, including new printer, wireless.
There you go. Nice. That usually happens when you buy a new computer. It's all the little bits and pieces. You generally have to upgrade. The whole office.
They make it like that. So yeah.
You have to install new doors and windows usually.
Yeah. Well, I'm really, really proud of myself for actually managing to set up everything myself. Even the webcam, I had to reinstall all kinds of stuff and update. And I'm really, really proud of myself.
Wow. Well, it seems to be working.
I'm so impressed with me. No.
And during all of that, did you get any writing done?
You know what? At the moment, I haven't written for quite a while. That's okay, my dad will be soon to see what that is.
My dog is trying to say hello.
Yeah, so Judy Ann Sadler and I, she's also a Canadian writer. She does craft books for kids. We actually have our own quilt pattern company because we both love to quilt.
Oh, wow.
And, like, we make the patterns for people to make quilts. And we actually are, it's just really taken off. And I'm frantically trying to put a quilt together that Northcott Fabrics, we work with them, want to take down to Houston at the end of the month to the big international quilt festival. So I haven't been writing for a while, but I gotta get back to it. It's terrible.
That's incredible. I actually, James, you probably don't know this, but I illustrated a book about quilts once, about this quilt this woman made for, her name was Martha Ann, and she was this black woman who moved to Liberia back in 1800s, and it was her dream to meet Queen Victoria, and she did.
Wow.
And she made a quilt for her and presented it to her and everything. And it was like this momentous occasion because you had, at that time, right?
Yeah.
You had a black woman in the same picture with Queen Victoria. So what got you into quilting?
I'm sorry?
Well,
my mom taught me to sew when I was about 8. And in fact, when I went to school, I mean, everybody, we all made our own clothes. You know, I'm 57, so I mean, I was back in school in the late 60s. And we all made our own clothes and everything. But there's just something about it. I think it's a different, the creativity is the same. As in, you have to have an idea to start, an inspiration. And even some of the language is very similar. Like we talk about a seamless story, and we talk about seams in our quilting, and you talk about the thread running through a story, we're working thread all the time. So I just really like the tactileness of it, and I love the colors, and if I have a bad day, I put colors, fabric all around the room and just sit there until I feel better. So it works for me, but I just love putting them together. But I have to be really careful because I can get sucked into that more so than writing at the moment. So maybe it's just something I need to do for a while.
Does that matter if you really enjoy it? I mean...
Yeah, it does have an agent going, when's the next one?
So yeah. you don't have a quilting agent, I take it.
Pardon?
You don't have a quilting agent.
Oh, no.
Where's the next quilt?
Yeah, he's a lovely, lovely agent, but he's pretty derisive about stuff like that quilting. He should be writing. And I told him I golf, too. And he says, writers don't golf.
They don't, actually.
No, it's true.
They don't? I golf. I love it.
Do you? Really? You golf?
Absolutely. Well, I used to play badminton and tennis, and my hips gave out on me, and I thought, well, wait a minute. My husband's going out for 4 hours to golf. We could look at it as quality time, and now we actually golf. We try to get out of it once a week, so.
Wow, that's great. Oh, anything that helps you
express yourself.
Yeah, express your mind, and the quilting clears your mind. I imagine it helps a different part of your brain. And
it does. You know what? While you're busy doing something else, be it walking or even the golfing or whatever, your mind tends to suddenly, you're resting it in a way, and then all of a sudden, boom, it'll you know where you're going with your story. It'll pop into your mind, so. It's too bad it doesn't happen with vacuuming and stuff, but I'm sorry, it's just the way it is.
Vacuuming's too distracting. James, I've got to show you.
I thought you were going to mention about how it doesn't look like I've ever vacuumed.
No, your place is quite clean. I need to show you. This conversation about quilting, sorry, it's got me kind of excited. I've been thinking about toys and things recently because, anyways, that's another thing. My mom made me a Star Wars quilt.
Really?
And I have it at home. I should show it to you.
When
I was a kid, my mom made me a, because I was such a big Star Wars fan when I was a kid.
If you could imagine a boy in the 70s being a Star Wars fan.
Absolutely. My sons are 32 and 28. And actually, Jason is... they both do the same thing. They both design games for Xbox and Nintendo and all that stuff. Jason works for Electronic Arts, BioWare, and Jesse works for Digital Extremes. And Jason right now is working on a new Star Wars game to come out.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It's a prequel to all the Star Wars, and it's in conjunction with Lucasfilms. And
oh, cool.
It's got a really cool trailer. I should send you the trailer of it because it looks
really... Oh, please.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But I'll write that down so I don't forget.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, if we can...
That's far more exciting than my Star Wars quiz.
Yeah.
That was made with love.
I have to say that we never know what we're going to experience whenever we meet a new author, and... already you've surprised me a few times here. So, I mean, golf and quilting and sons that are creating the next Star Wars video games. And so what I'm curious about is when you're out golfing and suddenly you have that next idea for a story, do you carry around a notepad to write it down? Do you halt the golf game?
No, actually, I don't. Actually, the only time I halt the golf game is I really like the nature on golf courses. I mean, they're pretty. It's take, and one of the ones up, we have a place up near Grand Bend, and one of them has a, I don't know if I'm pronouncing the name of the bird right, a cormorant or cormorant. It's a mix between a heron and a goose kind of thing. It's a very cool bird. So I will stop the golf game, take pictures of it, so I can post it on my blog and stuff. So, but no, I tend to, it's just like the mind keeps ticking over. I tend to remember. It's usually just before I go to bed, I remember, since I'm falling asleep. So I do keep a notebook beside my bed because I do need to write stuff down usually in that twilight. And sometimes it's very interesting the next morning to see what I've written. Sometimes I can't make head or tail of it.
Yeah, that happens to me if I wake up. Yeah, same thing. I do a lot of note-taking just before... There's something, it must be something about the mind when it's unwinding, right?
Yeah.
Just before, do you do that, James?
I never write it down, but I'm the kind of person that I can hash out an idea and it'll stick, it sticks with me until I can write it down. So I'm not the kind of person that loses it ever. And it actually winds up, I think, hashing out for me, by the time I'm ready to write it down, it's gotten to a point where it's sort of more exciting to me anyway. But...
And then you have to act on that excitement. As you can, I mean, by the time we're finished, you know, a book, 2 years, research, everything else. Oh, man, I'm so sick of it. I'm just so sick of that book. I never read my books again.
Yeah. And, especially...
I'm supposed to do to catch errors, but I don't.
Oh, really? That's what editors are for.
Well, yes, but you're supposed to do it, too, because then it comes out like in your hard form, and then it comes out in your, you know, your little form. So, okay, now, this is going to sound really, really embarrassing. We got in touch a very long time ago about doing this interview.
Long time ago.
What it's for.
Oh, no problem.
I'm so sorry. I said to my husband today, I said, I really just can't seem to remember.
Well, Lee and I...
You fit right in. No, I meant that seriously.
Lee and I do a bi-weekly podcast called Authors Like Us. So it's the website is authorslikeus.com.
ALU, okay, that's what that meant.
And, and basically all it is a casual conversation between us and the authors. We try to be unlike other interviews where, you know, people are always asked a set of questions and what inspires you and things like that. We don't want to do that.
Our interview is basically what we've been doing.
Yep.
That's the other big one. Do you have a regular schedule for writing? No, not really. There are certain standard questions we get asked constantly. So.
Constantly.
We have no standard questions.
Yeah.
Well, except one, but we only have one. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
the one I do like from little kids is, are you retiring soon? Yeah. They've been asking me that for like 15 years. I'm thinking, well, don't you like the books?
I haven't been asked that yet. I always just get asked, how old are you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I have no problem. I mean, everybody's a certain age. I mean, you know, I was 8 once. I was in my 20s. I was in my 30s. I was in my 40s. Now I'm in my 50s. So, yeah, I have no trouble owning up to my age.
I do.
Oh, do you? Okay, let me try to guess.
No, don't.
Okay, 32?
Thank you very much. You're very kind.
Okay. You're not
going to
tell me, are you?
No. This is being recorded. What, are you kidding me?
I'll tell you later.
He'll
email me on Facebook.
James, it'll be posted on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, I think it is, actually. Actually, you can just email me later
and
tell me how
old
it is.
Yeah, there you go.
So I have to tell you a little thing, too, Barbara, that back when Theories of Relativity, when that book came out, and it was chosen to be in the magazine for the Our Choice magazine, I was actually on the committee who read the book, and I loved it so much that I was ready when I came to the meeting to fight for it, to make sure that it got in there, and I wanted it 5-starred because I thought it was so amazing. And all of us sat down, and there were some books where we had some huge arguments with. When that book came to the table, none of us had an argument about it. We all automatically just agreed that it was absolutely fantastic and deserved the 5-star rating.
Oh, that's so cool.
Were you disappointed, James, that you couldn't get into a fight?
There was no argument. I prepared.
He likes a good fight.
That's nice. I'm glad to hear that. So it makes me feel good. Actually, it's taken off again, it seems to be, because all of a sudden I'm getting requests from... I think what's happened is, see, the language is a bit strong. If you read it, you know that.
Yeah.
And a lot of schools would not put it in. Which is their school, but the high schools, even though, I mean, you heard the kids in the kindergarten outside, you know, I don't think the first time around, I kind of didn't get into a lot of the schools, and I still get asked about the language all the time, but I think now that a few years, I mean, that book came out in 2003, now we're, 7 years later, and now the language, I'm not saying it's a little more acceptable, but I think people are more willing to give it a chance to see the story, and the fact that the language in that book is actually, people use it. Amber, for example, she uses it as an armor against a world that she feels is, turn their back on it. So there is a reason. I never use anything gratuitously. But I will tell you, it was really fun. My editor and I, we sat and we were going, well, do you think it needs another? Shh, here, you know. I go, no, what about an F? And then we're just swearing back and forth. And then we'll start to giggle because, neither of us are huge swears. I can insult you without having to swear and be out of there before you even know you're insulted. I like to think I can use language that well.
Yeah, I think that you've hit on something there, though, Barbara, where if you look at a lot of YA books now, the language in it is so strong. And a lot of times, too, the sexual content in books now for young adults is really strong. I think teachers are starting to become a little more desensitized to it. And also, too, because a lot of teachers now, I don't know about where you are, but here in BC, there's this big shift happening where a lot of teachers are retiring and a lot of new teachers are coming in sort of into the fold. And those teachers are a lot more open because they grew up on these books with swearing in them and adult content. And
well, and it's just like, I mean, it's just like when I was like 16, 17, we used to call was really snobby. I mean, we used to call people, you know, oh, you're so plastic. And, you know, I mean, I wasn't quite in that far out age, you know, but I was just past the hippie thing when I was in school. But we still, you know, but I don't know. I think it's a cultural thing. I think this is what kids do when they talk. And the only time that it really, really bothers me is a very young child using it, because they have no notion of what it is. And the other day, there was this old guy crossing into the mall, and this other guy, younger guy, probably his 30s, had a car. And the guy who had a cane, but the older man, but he wasn't crossing at the mall, at the proper crossing. He was just walking across the street. And this guy, he just reamed him out. Effers, you're so effing.
Wow.
And I was literally shocked, because it felt like a physical attack. And then I thought, well, there's how you can use that language and it physically affects you. Because I was just stunned and, you know, I was stopped in my tracks by this language and I just took off and thinking, oh.
I've seen incidents like that as well. And I agree, yeah, it is quite shocking. But I tend to find, like, a lot of I teach creative writing to kids and a lot of them want to use swearing. But I teach middle grade kids and I don't let them generally use swearing because I actually just think they're being lazy most of the time.
Yeah.
And to your point about having interesting language, like there's ways to have interesting language and insult characters in books without having to resort to just a bunch of F-bombs.
Yeah.
Most definitely. And in fact, you know, if I wanted to insult someone, I basically would just say something to the fact that, now that I've met you, I can understand the government's stance against cloning. And leave. And while they're still puzzling it out, you know, so I don't really have to swear at you.
Yeah.
Having said that, there are times when I have, especially when I'm quilting, I actually sewed right through my thumb with my sewing machine once, and yeah, the air was really, really blue. So I do swear now.
Well, I've never really thought about quilting and cursing as like, that would be a good title for a book. You should do that.
Quilting and cursing. That's your next book, Barbara.
Well, I actually have two books with quilt themes in them, but they're not cursing because they're for middle grade. But yeah, oh, actually, I know my husband does. Oh, you're off with your quilt, ladies. He has no idea. They're the wrong. I've learned so much from them. It is not like you go out for dinner with them, and I'll tell you, it's not like a nice little gathering. These are like filthiest women you ever met.
Today, in Authors Like Us, the dark side of quilting.
The dark side of quilting. What happens at quilting stays at quilting.
Don't go there, James. I know what you're thinking. First rule of quilt club. Yeah.
First rule of quilt club. Don't talk about quilt club.
Your mouth shut if you don't. Yeah.
But I guess when you're quilting, if you get really upset at the quilt, you know, using an intellectual response to the quilt, it doesn't really do anything for your frustration.
About cloning. No, I just need to swear an accent. That feels good sometimes. Get those words out of you.
Right, so I'm James.
I'm Lee.
And you're listening to
Authors Like Us.